Chapter 15. Preparing for the End. That night, Charles Darnay sat alone in his cell. But he was not alone in waiting for death. He was just one of 52 prisoners to be sent to the guillotine the next day. He knew now that all hope was gone, and he had to prepare himself for the end. It was not easy, but he calmed himself and thought of the many other men and women who had already bravely travelled this same road. He wrote a long letter to Lucy, telling her that he had known nothing about her father until they met in Calais on the boat to England. He had only learned at the trial today that his own father and uncle were responsible for sending Dr. Manette to the Bastille. He had told her father his real name on the morning of their wedding, and had promised to keep it a secret from her. He asked her to comfort her father, who had done nothing wrong. He asked her to be strong, and promised they would meet in heaven. Then he wrote to Dr. Manette and Mr. Lorry, asking them to take care of Lucy and their child. When he had finished, he lay down on his bed. His first thought the next morning was, "This is the day of my death." The hours went on, and the clocks struck numbers he would never hear again. He knew that the final hour was 3 o'clock, and that he would be collected before this. He walked up and down his cell, praying for his loved ones and himself. Midday was gone forever. 1 o'clock was gone. He waited for 2. Suddenly, he heard a key in the lock. The door was quickly opened and closed, and there, before him, stood Sidney Carton. Darnay could not understand it.
"You're not a prisoner?" he asked.
"No. I have an arrangement with one of the jailers, and I have come with a request from your wife. I have no time to explain. You must obey me quickly. Take off your boots and put on mine."
Carton had already taken off his boots and was giving them to Darnay.
"Carton, it's impossible to escape from this place. You'll only die with me. It's madness."
"I'm not asking you to escape. Here, take my coat, and let me take the ribbon from your hair."
With great speed, he helped Darnay to dress in his clothes.
"Please, Carton," said Darnay, "don't add your death to mine."
"I'm not asking you to escape," repeated Carton. "Now, I need you to write what I tell you."
He stood with his hand inside his shirt as Darnay sat at the table and picked up a pen.
"Write this," said Carton. "I know you will remember a conversation we had long ago when you read this. I am thankful that I can now prove what I said."
As Darnay wrote, Carton's hand moved slowly down towards Darnay's face.
"What's that smell?" Darnay asked, looking up.
"I can smell nothing," answered Carton. "Now hurry."
Darnay continued writing, but his breathing was slow and his eyes grew heavy. After a moment, his pen stopped and he tried to get up. Carton put his hand over Darnay's nose and held him. A minute later, Darnay lay unconscious on the ground. Quickly, Carton dressed himself in Darnay's clothes and tied his hair back with the ribbon. He took the paper from the table and put it inside Darnay's coat. Then he called, quietly,
"Come in."
John Barsad entered the cell.
"You have nothing to fear," said Carton. "Get someone to help you take him out. He is Sidney Carton now. He was weak and faint when you brought him in, and now he has fallen unconscious.
Is this a trick? Said the spy.
No, said Carton. You can trust me. Take him down to the carriage that is waiting and drive him to the address I gave you. Be quick.
Barsad ran out and came back at once with another man. Between them, they carried the unconscious Darnay out of the cell. The door closed and Carton was alone. He listened hard. There was the sound of keys turning, doors closing, footsteps passing, but nothing to make him anxious. The clock struck two. Finally, a jailer came and unlocked his door.
Follow me, Evrémonde, he said.
Carton was taken to a large room where the 52 prisoners were brought together to wait. After a few moments, a young woman came up to him. Her face was pale and her eyes were large and wide.
Citizen Evrémonde, she said, touching his hand. I was with you before in this prison.
Yes, I remember, replied Carton, but I forget what you were accused of.
Treason against the Republic, she replied. But I've done nothing.
The sound of her soft voice brought tears to his eyes.
I'm not afraid to die for the Republic, but I don't see how my death will help the people, she said. I thought you were freed, Citizen Evrémonde.
I was, but I was taken again and denounced.
May I ride with you, Citizen Evrémonde, and hold your hand?
She lifted her eyes to his, and then he saw the shock on her face. He quickly made a sign to her to be silent.
Are you dying for him? She whispered.
Yes, and for his wife and child.
Oh, brave stranger, will you let me hold your hand?
Yes, my poor sister, to the end.
At the same moment, a carriage arrived at the barrier and stopped.
Your papers, a man called.
He opened the door of the carriage and looked inside. He looked at a white-haired man in the corner, trembling and anxious.
Alexandre Manette, doctor, French, he read.
He looked at a beautiful young woman with golden hair.
Lucie, wife of Evrémonde, French.
Sitting close to her was a child. He looked at an old man in a brown suit.
Jarvis Lorry, banker, English. Sidney Carton, lawyer, English. What's wrong with him? Asked the man, staring into the corner of the carriage.
He is not in good health, and he had a shock and fainted, answered Mr. Lorry.
Here are your papers. You may go, said the man.